Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And ChrisWright250. And always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
That's right.
So, John.
Yeah.
What this week?
We're
talking about E3.
Yes. And I mean, I'm so amped for E3.
Yeah, dude,
it's like it can't come soon enough.
It's like Christmas Day.
It is like Christmas. It's like gamers' Christmas Day, you know? Except actually most of the time you only get like announcements and you don't actually get anything.
So I live on a strict diet of entertainment news and Coca-Cola.
And Coca-Cola.
Yes. That's what I consume daily.
It's an interesting combo.
It keeps my brain fed.
I like it.
And
it keeps your blood sugar high.
Exactly. I like it. It keeps your brain fed and your blood sugar high.
I mean, it keeps you on this constant, like, of all those ups and downs. You know, if you get on a down, it's like you just get some more Coke.
Exactly.
Caffeine, man.
Yes.
All of that.
It's Mexican Coke.
Just not the pure sugar.
Yeah,
you know?
Cane sugar.
Just
not the
cane sugar, like the processed corn syrup stuff.
Correct,
you know?
Correct.
It's only the pure stuff for you.
So how's this week been going for you?
It's good. It's good. There was a time there where I was kind of nuts on Tuesday where I didn't know what day of the week it was.
Oh man, that's not good.
Yeah, it was very strange. In fact, I asked you. I sent you a text. And
you
was
did.
Like,
you said, "What is today?"
I said, "Is it Tuesday?" And you said, "Yeah." Or I said, "Yeah." I said, "Is it Tuesday?" And you said, "Yes, it's Tuesday." And I said, "Yeah." I just didn't even know. Like, I literally thought it was Wednesday at that point.
Oh,
I thought
man.
We were recording the podcast later.
Yes,
because you were like talking to me about the podcast and stuff, and I was just in a
you have
crazy
some pre-production,
place.
Man.
That's very true. We do a lot of that. We do a lot of like the talking. Hey, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of planning, you know. So
last night I got a little crazy.
What did you do?
I went nuts. Got a little OCD and decided I was going to finally redeem all of my ultraviolet copies of my movies.
Dude, that's a nuts process too, because like I hate ultraviolet and like how I'm always confused. Like I've done it a few times. Like I do it on all my movies that I get. You know,
you
as I do. Like I just try to redeem them. Like whenever I unwrap them and have an ultraviolet, I try to redeem
them. I always do the iTunes, but like I mean, I've never set up an ultraviolet. I didn't want ultraviolet. Like, but then I don't know why, and I don't plan on watching them. Probably I don't know. I just decided. All right. I'm going to redeem, and I started.
I like the idea of ultraviolet, but it's like it just doesn't work the way it's billed, like the way that you see it in these, like in the advertisements and things. It's always like you have instant access to your movies and things, and I've never had instant access to my movies via ultraviolet. Like
so,
it just seems like there's always a hoop to jump through.
I've got the Flixster app now, and it has like you can stream the movies there. So maybe I'll watch them on my phone or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like what I want,
if you want to. Churn up your data every month, you know, that 4G.
Exactly. So I'm not going to do it there, you know, download gigabyte files on my, you know, 4G. Or, you know, like maybe like Wi-Fi just while I'm at home.
Just Wi-Fi, yeah, that would be a good idea.
But the, you know, like
could
the,
be cool.
I just want movies I can just redeem in iTunes.
Yeah, or you can just like go, hey, I want to pop this on my phone. And you just
exactly.
throw it on there, drag
exactly.
and drop it over. You know, it's just so seamless whenever that happens.
What are you playing these days?
What am I playing? I actually finished up Batman Arkham Origins recently.
We have a review of that.
We do have a review of that,
Josh,
Fulton.
Do you agree with
yes and
his
no
analysis?
Like I remember like back whenever we reviewed it then it was like week it came out. And so they hadn't patched a lot of things. There were some bugs that he said like it crashed on. The game played fine for me. The only time like there was one time where I literally like turn a corner and then just locked up. Like just froze and it's
so
like
it still has technical problems there.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, but then they put out that patch and it was like, okay, this is as far as we're going. This is much, you know, and then I played that part again and it didn't have any problems. It just all of a sudden just I guess all of I don't know what happened.
I mean, I will agree though that
error, you know.
No game should do that.
No. You shouldn't put out like whenever you put out a game, like you shouldn't put out a an unfinished product. I mean, we look at Battlefield 4, which like they've just now, how long ago was that?
It's still not fixed, dude.
Well, of course not. But it's like they just now put out a patch to where some people are like, well, it's playable now.
Right.
Like you, so like it took them like 7-8 months to actually like get this thing to where you can play it, yeah, to where it's acceptable, to where you can just go, oh yeah, I can get around on this.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember playing the beta on that, and from what I heard, it wasn't much different. Like whenever the game actually came out, it wasn't any different than the beta.
Oh no, no, it was exactly like the beta.
Right.
Yeah. It was. It was
buggy
bad.
And you know. I don't even know.
You know, like, and even the campaign, I think I mentioned this at some point, even the campaign of Battlefield 4, I played through the first three missions.
Yeah.
Which
took how long?
I mean, it was a few hours, yeah, you know, 2 hours maybe.
That's not bad.
Two and a half.
You know.
I mean, it was a short campaign anyway, but first, well, yeah, three missions, but... and on the hardest difficulty, went away to go eat supper, went out for
big
dinner.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Don't eat supper.
Whenever you're playing Battlefield 4, don't eat.
Came back and I had to replay all those missions again. It didn't save it.
Didn't save it.
And, like, there was no check.
Did you
like,
turn
there was no,
off the box, or like was it just on, or like what was,
I
mean, the?
I stopped the game, quit the game.
Like, yeah,
and it should have saved. I mean, no, I definitely. Hit all these checkpoints.
Well, it's like you see the little save icon pop up in the bottom.
Yeah,
it's like nope, we're good to go.
It, like, if you hit continue, it was just like, well, you're back at the beginning. Of
that's
the game.
Ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
So it's like you're continuing, but the continue is just.
Yeah, so it's like
day
just,
one,
you know, put out a complete game.
Yeah, and so we had actually had a podcast which we should reference in the show
I'll
notes
dig
here.
That one up
where we talked about like betas, like should major publishers release betas? And even when we talked about how like Minecraft, whenever it first came out, you bought into the beta, and then as it upgraded and things, you know, just the development cycle, I guess, of this current generation where you put out games that just aren't really finished. They essentially are betas, and then you just patch it later. And it's like day one patches, I do understand that, because the game goes gold, and it's like you want to, like, between the time that it goes gold and it ships, it's like there's a couple of weeks there where you can do some, yeah, additional development, make this thing good to go,
yeah,
you know, take something that was, you know, great. But it's like, I feel like the deadlines that these publishers are trying to make are unrealistic for the game developer to actually get the game there, where it's like, oh, in Battlefield 4, if they made the game go gold, I can't imagine what it was like whenever they like actually had the discs and shipped the discs without day one's patch.
It sounds like we're kind of moving away from that now, though. So, like,
yeah,
let's move into, it's kind of some news right now.
Okay.
Like, we weren't really planning on a news segment.
No, we weren't.
But, so, this week, Arkham...
yes.
Arkham, what's it called? Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, yes.
Has been delayed from 2000, late, I guess it was,
it was October.
It
was supposed
October
to be in October.
This year.
Yeah. Which,
to,
October's loaded with games right
to
now.
To 2015. And, you know, like, okay, well, you know, it's not coming out. You have games like Watch Dogs and Stick,
yeah,
of Truth, South Park, Stick of Truth that were delayed, and
that
they
were
end
just
up being
completely delayed.
Great. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, there was another Sony game that's just been delayed. Oh, The Order.
Yeah.
The Order 1886.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out this fall.
Yeah.
It's now coming out next year. And so, like,
you
I think
see a,
now
a
you're,
little bit of that. You're getting a little bit more care from these, and like the Ubisoft.
Ubisoft,
they've
does
never
it a lot.
Had a problem like delaying games to make
and
it.
And they've publicly said, you know, we will, if it will make the game better, we will delay it.
Yeah,
and I like that.
That's great.
You know, like, I mean, The Crew, it's coming out later this year. It's,
yeah,
probably going to be awesome. Everything looks great.
Yeah,
and you know, like, it was supposed to launch with the consoles,
right,
at the beginning or. Last year, late,
yeah,
last year. And so, like, you know.
I think you see people like publishers and developers like that are doing games like that, like Ubisoft, and they make those calls where they say, hey, let's delay this thing. And you see the sales numbers, and not only just the sales numbers, but you see the critical, like, just people are more accepting of these games being delayed to be better. And so,
yeah,
I think that you're right. You do see a shift now where there's going to be a little bit, like, you're not going to put out a crazy, WB's not going to put out this game, you know, an Arkham game, unfinished again.
Yeah.
I do think, though, and there has been a like some talk about that, have like, we announced this game 4 months ago or whatever,
yeah,
and what changed within 4 months to make this thing, like, or 2 months ago, it was like 2 months ago, it wasn't even like that long, and so then they're already delaying this, so I think like some people have proposed that was kind of like a misleading, where it's like, oh, we're gonna come out in later this year, but they didn't really intend to come out later this year,
maybe, but like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, you look at like what changed in the last month.
Anything could change
to push this thing back six months.
You think about,
you know?
You know, you think about something. Another thing this week, it's a movie, Jupiter Ascending. It's the Wachowski brothers'
next
movie.
Film, yeah.
Okay, it's got Channing Tatum.
Much
and,
anticipated.
What's her name?
Oh.
From, she was in That 70s Show. And,
I can't remember her, her name. Mila Kunis?
Yes, Mila Kunis. Yes. Okay, so it has both of them. And anyway.
Blanked on her name.
It's, you know, like, it's supposed to be a summer tentpole movie. It's supposed to be coming out July 18th, I think, was the original date. And it's getting moved to next year.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 8 months away next year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, we're almost at that release date.
Right.
And, like, that means, like, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, or, like, that means that, like, there is something seriously wrong with that movie.
Seriously wrong with it.
And I don't, like, they blamed it on visual effects. It's like, okay. But
that may be legit, but I mean, maybe, it's got to be a lot of visual effects to push this thing back 8 months or whatever.
Maybe it just it indicates that there are larger problems with this movie besides just visual effects to push this thing back 8 months.
Right.
And so, like, even at this point in the lifespan, like, things can get pushed back.
Right.
So
I do think that we're going to see in the games industry, we're going to see a little bit more of, like, we're pushing things that were in October, November of this year. So we're going to see them that were delayed there. And they're all going to be delayed to, like, early 2015 or, like, you know, spring 2015. And so, like, that we're going to have, rather than a pile up in the end of this year in October or November, we're going to see a big pile up of games, like, early next year. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to
play out.
I mean,
you think about, like,
because I think it's a smart call to delay your game just because there's so many other big, big name games that are going to, like, pull away from your market.
Compared to this year,
right?
Next spring having more than, like, two big games is okay. Like, this year we had, you know,
Titanfall for Xbox One.
Right. Infamous, South Park.
Yeah.
Those were the, like, main three. Oh, Watch Dogs. So those are the four big games that we've had this spring.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And yeah, that's all. I mean, we'll have maybe some in the summer, but I don't know.
I mean, we got Destiny coming out, like, early fall, I guess is what you would call that. Late summer, early fall.
Unless we get some you know, announcements at E3 of summer releases, you know.
But I think
we're not going to have anything till the fall.
Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't do that. I don't think they would, like, turn around unless we do some crazy things and it's like, oh, it's available next week or something like that. I really don't know if we would see a marketing plan that would only take, like, 2 months or 3 months. But I would almost rather see that, though.
What?
Like a shorter, like, people announce these games so early in the like in the process. Like,
well,
The Division. I'm so disappointed about The Division, where it's like, we saw that, I guess, first last year, right? At E3 last year.
Yeah.
And, like, they've just kind of pushed that back and pushed that back. But
think about it.
I don't know.
They had to because, you know, you release new consoles and you have to have, you know, like, we don't have all these games coming out with it. But you have to say, well, this is what's coming. And this is why to buy ours instead of our competitors.
That's true.
So if you even have an inkling of, like, this game might be coming, you freaking make a trailer for it. Like, you think about last year, E3, the trailer for Halo 5. It's like, it was like they had no idea what that game was going to be. It's
other just than Master Chief in a poncho.
Master Chief in a flowing, cool looking poncho.
Yeah, it's like,
and the hood comes back and it's Master Chief. Like,
and
the same thing for Uncharted 4. They're just scrolling over the map
with
a voiceover of some villain that's the voice actor's not even in the game anymore.
Right.
So, like, you know, You think about, like, you have to get your fans hyped for your console.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to say, here's what's coming in the future if you buy our console. That's
this
one reason why, like, I bought, you know, the Xbox One first.
Yeah.
Was because of Titanfall.
Oh,
you know, like, so.
And it was coming out sooner than most of the games that, like, PS4 was billing and stuff, too.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, yeah, you're right. There's this big marketing idea where it's like, you need to, especially with new hardware, you need to convince people it's worth it to buy this console over the other one.
And
I think that's something that, like, PlayStation has made the argument for themselves a lot. Like, and while, like, there's Titanfall and stuff like that, I guess PlayStation doesn't have their big Titanfall-like game yet, but I think they will.
I mean, it was Infamous. Like, that's what, you know, and it sold really well. Like, I mean, PlayStation is traditionally not the place you go for multiplayer games. Now, they're going to try to change that with Destiny. They have, like, some...
That's true. Some deal
platform,
where it's
platform exclusives,
right?
And
is it going to be timed exclusives with that as well?
I don't know. Like,
it's
an extra, like, hour worth of campaign content, and, you know, it's just gonna be exclusive to PlayStation,
which kind of disappoints me as a non PlayStation owner.
See, like, and, you know, and that it's a conundrum for me because it's like, well, I have a PlayStation and I could play it, but then none of my you know, like, friends I play with frequently are going to be playing it, so I'm not going to buy it on that, which is fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's an hour worth of gameplay that, you know, I probably don't need. You know, like, it's, you know, half the time that stuff either comes later or it's, you know, like, not as fleshed out.
Right. And you also look at, like, they're planning on, what, this 10-year development cycle on that game? Like, we were trying to get 10 years out of it?
Well, no, they didn't say 10-year development cycle. They just said, basically, I think they mean with the franchise, they want this franchise to last 10 years. Long. Which, whenever you think about it, if you have, you know, a 3-year development cycle for each game and you have a trilogy, that's 9 years.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, and honestly,
it's not that hard to...
Yeah, what's different about that than what they did with, like, Halo? I mean, like, I feel like Halo's lasted longer than 10 years.
It has, but that's why, you know, they're saying, hey, we're looking at this kind of, you know, this kind of tail on the end of this game. You know, like, it will spawn sequels and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, I think there's a chance we might see, you know, like, the trend of developers releasing or announcing games really early. We might see that change because of the fact that they don't have new consoles to develop now. But then, like, the one reason that we might not is because, like, everyone's so afraid of leaks now. Like, you think about, I forgot who, I think it was maybe the president of Ubisoft last week was talking about how, like, he just hated leaks, and I don't blame him. Like, his argument is, you know, you have these people who have spent the last, you know, 2 or 3 years on a game, and, you know, they have families, they have people to feed, and something leaks out of context and it makes no sense, and you're going to, you know, crucify or hold up a game,
right?
You know, leaks.
Yeah, even if you love the leak, like, even if the leak is, like, awesome news and you're like, this is great, I'm so pumped for this game, but if it doesn't accurately reflect what the game actually is, like, you're just building up those expectations to be let down.
Right, he's saying, and, like, you know, there's people who are going to, you know, pick on a game because of, you know, some reason, but, like, you're also going to get people who are overly hyped for a game based on false information, you know? And, and then you see, like, you know, I guess last week, no, 2 weeks ago, Battlefield Hardline came out, and it was leaked in, like, some Origin files, but, and EA just finally was like, all right, fine, this is what it is.
Yeah, we were holding this website for E3, but...
You'll find out more at E3, you know, like, yeah, this game's coming. I mean, it was probably going to be a big reveal in that. You think about it, EA has an hour-long press conference.
Yeah.
The next Battlefield, like, the fact that there's now an annualized Battlefield was going to be a big deal probably at their conference.
For sure, dude.
And it also leaks.
Yeah, and also...
Granted, that was their own fault.
Oh, of course.
That they put that in the code of Origins.
Well, but you've also got guys who are scouring the code for that. You know, you like in this industry, it's like you get a data mine, like you just data mine servers and data mine things that you know are connected to various publishers and things. And it's and then you find this information, or even just images. Sometimes you just like with the Titanfall, the maps leaked, all of them leaked before like they actually came out and stuff. And that was just from like a data mine where they were just perusing the betas servers.
The Titanfall maps, like, that doesn't bother me as much because they released zero information before that game. Like, I mean, I don't know. That was weird because, like, everyone wanted information. It was time for information.
Yeah.
They had the information, and they didn't give it to you. Yeah. You know, like, you know, Battlefield is like, okay, well, yeah, it's their own fault. I mean, it's their own fault. Like, you just have to be careful about that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, like, that's an example of, like, something that wasn't meant to leaks. Yes. And, you know, like, I think in order to get out in front of any leaks that might happen, game developers, you know, allowance these things way ahead of time. Now you have some that don't. Like, Rockstar always keeps a great lid on everything.
Yeah, about almost any of their games, you just don't know much about it other than what they want you to know. And so, like, I applaud their employees for, like, not leaking anything,
I think they all probably have to sign non-disclosure.
I'm sure all of these publishers do. You
maybe,
know?
Maybe not. Like, I think to some extent, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends on, like, what the culture is inside the company. If it's, you know, one where, like, they know they're going to get in a lot of trouble if something leaks and they find out who they are, then, you know, like, they're not going to do it.
Right.
But, you know, if it's something where things where security is lax and people can just, you know, like, you know.
Willy-nilly. Just papers are floating around the office and some intern somewhere who never signed a single thing, you know, picks it up.
Right. Yeah. And so, you also have, like, you know,
Naughty
Dog does a good job with it as well. They don't really leak anything. And I don't know.
So speaking of leaks, though, we had some photos leak over the weekend about Star Wars. Like, there was some off from the set, like, photos.
So I think, I tweeted about this earlier.
Yeah,
it was JJ's response.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, there was a lot of photos of, like, the Millennium Falcon, which is, okay, so let's be excited here for a second.
Yes, I'm pumped.
So first, there's all these photos of these crazy cool looking, you know, like, places. It's, I guess it's supposed to be Tatooine.
Yes.
But then there's also like a full life build of the Millennium Falcon.
What in the world?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
If only I could have that, like, in my, like, could I just live in, like, a Millennium Falcon, like,
I know, dude.
Model. I really want to just live there.
It was amazing. Like, it looks amazing. It's great. Oh, dude, man. So cool. Oh my gosh. And so, like, that was exciting. And, like, it was like, well, are these real? Are they not? And, like, honestly, right. For a second, I thought that maybe they were leaking them themselves just to get the fans hyped. And obviously right. not. Otherwise, no. Otherwise, J.J. Abrams wouldn't have tweeted, but he basically said, hey, you know, like, all these leaks suck, and said, you know, made some kind of jab, like, there's no Millennium Falcon or something right. like that. But what's on the table, like, the chess table in the Millennium Falcon? Like, he's yeah. obviously, like, doing it with a wink and a smile. And so, right. you know, like, but this is the thing. Those leaks, the leaks that hurt movies
yeah.
are, one...
story leaks.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
number two, the leaks that hurt movies are actual like clips of like unedited takes
that's
that
true.
Don't have finished special effects, mm-hmm. and people rip it to shreds.
Yeah,
and that can destroy a movie's credibility fast.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I don't mind these leaks nearly as much, just because it's like, oh, well, this crazy monster looking thing is in Star Wars, is in the next Star Wars, and it's like that's really cool to me because. Rather than putting a digital crazy monster in there, it's an actual crazy looking
yeah,
beast. That's, and that's awesome. That's like amazing. It makes me more excited about it. But you're right. It's like it's the script leaks that I hate, or it's like the plot like leaks that you hate. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, all of that sort of thing. So yeah. I hadn't even thought about the fact that like unedited footage would be a really, really detrimental to the yeah. release of a film. So yeah.
So this past weekend I played some BioShock.
Yeah.
Infinite, the DLC.
The DLC, first, the Burial half. At Sea, part
Burial
one.
Burial at Sea, part one. Yep. It was really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the second part. You played none of this.
Okay, I haven't played any of this. I'm kind of waiting on them to like figure out, are they going to put this on next gen now or are they not? We've talked about this on the podcast before,
yeah.
where it's like we propose they probably will within the next year or so, and I would rather play it on next gen. And yeah. so I would almost rather just wait for these updates of
these
games.
So you're saying you don't want me
out.
To give you my copy? And you can play it.
It depends. Like, I just don't know. Like, I'm kind of in that limbo right now where it's like, do I play it? Do I wait? I've waited this long. Why not just wait more?
If this game comes to next gen,
yeah,
I think that I will probably play it again.
You'll buy it again. So I should just go ahead and borrow your copy and play this thing and then buy it whenever it comes out.
I think so.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay. I mean, that's legit. I mean, I haven't played the game. I love the original BioShock.
Yeah.
And I was super excited about this one, but I hadn't like finished. I've been late on all the BioShock stuff. I hadn't finished BioShock 1 before.
You still haven't finished it?
No, I have.
Okay, good.
But BioShock 1 before.
We were about to have.
Like, I know.
A serious moment.
You were about to jump over and like just punch me right then.
Holy cow.
No, but the. I don't know. I was finishing up that one as BioShock Infinite was coming out. And so like after, and so I missed like the boat of like, hey, pre-order this thing and get on the board there. And so I have opted to wait. I don't know. It's like, there's other games on my radar. Mm-hmm. So, and it's getting to the point where this summer I'm going to be looking for things to play. And so that's kind of like,
there we go.
I really could easily do that.
All right. I'll take that. All right. Well, we have some E3 stuff to dive into. That
yes.
like this conversation has popped like five different ideas in my head.
Awesome.
But we're not going to talk about that yet.
Okay. The pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Okay, John.
Okay, Chris.
My pick of the week.
Yes.
Is Girl Meets World.
Dude.
It is, I mean, okay, this hear is, me out.
Well, I'm not saying dude as in, like, I'm going to take your man card from you.
No.
I'm excited about this thing.
I know. So, like, Boy Meets World, I loved Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Why can't I talk right now?
Blah, blah, blah.
It's like blah, I have blah, blah. A plastic ball in my mouth.
A plastic ball? Blah, blah, blah?
Yes.
What if I, like, what if you literally had a plastic ball in your mouth? I'm looking around
no
for
idea.
A plastic ball
What if
ball
I was having
right
a
now?
Stroke right now?
Oh, gosh.
That's why I couldn't talk.
But you kept going on with the podcast.
Yeah, like, you know, I have this, you know... heart attack during the podcast.
And we just call 911. The ambulance comes. They get to share their opinions on E3 and games and Girl Meets World.
Before they take me to the
yes,
hospital.
Before they take you to the hospital.
Girl Meets World is, I guess, premiering next week. But right now, it is available to watch before it actually airs on the Watch Disney Channel app.
This is amazing news.
If you have, I think I haven't logged into it yet. I haven't downloaded it. I haven't done what I need to. I should probably actually do that. But I think you have to have like cable TV information subscription first. Yeah. So like you just, but you log in with your information and you can watch the first episode of Girl Meets World. And I'm really pumped for it, man. Like Boy Meets World is really cool. The fact that Ben Savage and I don't remember the girl who plays Topanga, like they're both in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's all back. Like, well, not the whole thing. Well, but like they're
even saying that Sean might make an appearance at some point on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure
this was all kind of in up in the air. But,
I'm sure that they could, like Sean, Eric, like they could all make an appearance on the show and it like fit and work and be really, really cool. And so,
right.
Like we'll see. Like I'm actually, you know, like excited about this. I've never been excited. Since I was a kid, excited about a show on the Disney Channel, but it's gonna be pretty cool.
There are two shows right now that Disney Channel is actually going to be like hitting it hard. Like, there's going to be Star Wars Rebels.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is that's on Disney show.
Disney XD though.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, it's like, but it's still Disney. You know, it's still like, it's on one of the Disney show like network thing. But yeah, so there's this one and then there's that one. So, but this one I'm super excited about because the trailer looks. I mean, it looks like it feels like those early seasons of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Did. You know, it just kind of looks like it's that same vibe, and I'm excited to jump back into something that's really lighthearted and fun like that again. So there's just not enough TV that's that, you know, lighthearted, I guess, anymore. So
yeah, for sure.
Okay, so my pick this week. Do you want to know what my pick is?
I do.
It is actually another TV show.
Ooh.
And it is Sherlock. Ooh. It has just hit Netflix. The new the most recent season has hit Netflix, and so that's
nice.
Been watching that guy. It's man, if anybody out there has not watched Sherlock, This is a great show.
I have not watched Sherlock.
I always chastise you for that too.
I know.
Like it's really bad. Now,
I'm in the middle of Game of Thrones. Whenever I catch up with that, I will do my best to dive right into Sherlock.
You should. And right. And it's really good. So make sure you guys check that out. I didn't know it was on there until just recently. I mean, it just popped up in the last couple of days or whatever. But I even came into it about a day late or whatever. Catherine was like, they have new episodes of Sherlock on there. And I like had to try to catch up to where she was at so we could watch it together. That whole Netflix thing where it's, you watched ahead anyway. So that was my pick this week. This season feels a little bit more, I don't know how to put it. It's a little bit more fun, I guess, than some of the because like in previous seasons they would be fun and it was funny and stuff, but it wasn't. You know, this one feels a little bit more of that infused in it, a little bit more of the characters of Sherlock and Watson kind of just having fun, you know, as they go through. So
that's cool.
Really nice to see Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch kind of play off of each other and riff off of each other a little bit more.
That's awesome.
Here we go. We're going to talk about E3.
Yes.
This is the part that I've been looking forward to for like a couple of weeks. I've been trying to resist talking about E3 on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've just been like in this constant like state of like E3-ness.
Thinking about it?
Yes. Well, it's like we've been looking forward to these news drops, and it's like the news scene for games has gone dry recently just because people are holding back for E3, which is what you do for like E3 and Gamescom. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I really like news and I like to hear about new games that are coming out. I like to see footage of stuff, and it's really nice during these times that you don't have E3 and like Gamescom that you get that constantly. Whereas whenever this goes dry, your anticipation is built up so much for one event, and it's just awesome. Like you said, it's like Christmas morning almost.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do with this segment basically was like run down, like, okay, let's talk about like what to expect from each publisher.
Okay.
Okay.
And so from each like main event, like main
press conference.
Yes, basically. Press conference.
And then we will go into like basically like any predictions that we have.
Okay.
Let's start with Microsoft. They lead it off at
it's early over there.
It's 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Right.
Noon where we're at in Nashville. Yes. But they're going to lead it off.
So adjust your world clock accordingly.
Yes. Synchronize your watches. And like they're leading it off.
Yeah.
They are going to focus completely on games. Like something that we've talked, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast before. Maybe we have. You can tell me. Is about Microsoft and their press conference this year. something that's really telling is what they have announced ahead of time. Have we talked about this on the podcast?
I think we might have brushed over it one time whenever we talked about the Kinectless box.
So, like, you know, they haven't they didn't hold that for E3. Like, they lowered the price. The fact that they went ahead and said, you know, what they needed to say about Halo 5 before the press conference, like, that could have been a huge reveal.
Yeah.
And that was just like a press release. And so it's like, holy moly.
Yeah. What are we going to have coming out from the press conference?
Exactly. Like, if we're getting this now, like, it's just like, hey, we need to get this out of the way.
Right.
What in the world?
And it's even to the point where, like, they've said, hey, this is all about the games, but it's nice to see those things kind of, like, especially the price drop and stuff, where it's like, we're not going to dedicate E3 time, which should be all about the games, to something that's not games related.
This week, they came out and announced Forza 2, or for Forza Horizons 2.
I was so surprised that they did that, as opposed to, everybody anticipated that was going to be a big E3 announcement.
Not anymore.
But it's not a big E3 announcement. Yeah.
Nope.
It's
so...
Yeah.
We're getting other stuff. like, we are, the games that we know are coming, like, I could see, you know, something from about Sunset Overdrive.
Yes.
We're going to probably see something, an update on Quantum Break.
Yes. Despite the fact that that's delayed now a little bit till 2015. Like, it was supposed to come out 24, right. Like, supposed to come out later this year.
I don't think we ever got a release date on it originally.
I think it was always slated on, like, the retailers or whatever, that it was like,
I mean, they just make stuff up.
Yeah, that's true.
It was never an announcement from Microsoft that it was coming this year.
Right.
So it was, I mean, to me, that's not really a delay.
It was, quote, pushed back. It was like...
Correct. It was just like, they finally, oh, well, this is coming out next year.
That makes sense.
We might see something from that.
I'm excited about that.
But other than that, there's not a lot of... there will probably be some kind of Call of Duty part of their press conference.
For sure. I mean, they want to keep that side of their... I guess their business going. They want to keep the Call of Duty, the hardcore Call of Duty players on their systems. You know?
Well, I mean, that we still have all the exclusive DLC.
That's true.
We have all the DLC first, you know, on Xbox. And so, I could see them doing that. I don't see them doing anything about Battlefield, even though the DLC for Battlefield is still on Xbox One first. I think E3 will keep that for their press conference. But... that's really all we know, and like that, you know, what? How long did that just take to explain? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Even if we see trailers, spend 15 minutes on it, and the rest of it will be new IP.
Yeah. Who knows what? My theory with Forza and with kind of these previous announcements that they've kind of made, my theory is that we're going to look at, hey, what's coming out this year? What's coming out more recently? Basically, we've got this kind of lull right now, like we just talked about earlier, over the summer and things. We've got this kind of lull in releases, big name releases for both consoles. And I think Microsoft has some things lined up, or potentially might have some things lined up, where they might be able to bring out some more exclusives like Sunset Overdrive, or like some of these things like that, before some of the big Sony ones. And I think that's kind of what they might be betting on with their strategy with E3 this year.
Sony's press conference.
Okay.
It's later in the day. It's the last one of Monday.
Yes.
It begins at... I believe it is 6 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Central time.
Yes.
Where we're at.
I think that's right.
Like something cool that they're doing they are live broadcasting their press conference to 50. Is it just in the United States?
I think it's
United States and Canada.
Yeah.
So 50 movie theaters in the United States and Canada. And like I think you can probably still go to the PlayStation blog, find the post, and try to grab some tickets for
Do you want to link to that on stayontargetpodcast.com?
Yeah,
find it.
I'll find it.
Yeah,
I'll link to it. So go to stayontargetpodcast.com.
Boom.
Find the link. You can click on it. Go get tickets to go to the PlayStation. I forget what they're calling it. Basically, like, you just go to the movie theater and watch the press release. But this is the cool thing.
Yes,
they had mentioned that there will be like 30 extra minutes of developer commentary and trailers.
Awesome.
And there will also possibly be GIFs. And this is the big one. Something leaked earlier this week that it could be Battlefield Hardline beta codes.
Really?
Yep. If you go to the only for PlayStation 4.
Yes.
But if you go to the Sony press conference, you'll get a Battlefield 4 beta code.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
They did say, like, giveaways and stuff like that.
Right.
So, like,
honestly, knows? Like, why wouldn't you do this? Like, why wouldn't you go? Like, if you're gonna watch this thing anyway, or even if you're not, it's like, hey, just go and check out the new games and stuff.
If you don't have a PlayStation 4,
I guess that's true. Maybe, but I'm excited to go.
That's true.
I'm super pumped to go. I mean, but then again, I really like games and, you know, PlayStation.
If you really like games, you like PlayStation, and you have PlayStation like consoles, go to this.
Yes.
Like, you will have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if you're in the Nashville area, you might see us there.
I don't think that we will see a lot. I don't know. We'll probably see some Destiny, but I don't think we'll see a whole lot of Destiny.
I think we need to see something from, if not from like one of the onstage shows, we definitely need to see some games footage from some of the, like, from their, I guess, their spot on the
It depends on how their pre-orders are going. I would, you know, like, if they have a ton of pre-orders, I don't see them spending a lot of time on, you know, Destiny in the Sony press conference. I think that, you know, like, we'll see a lot of like new IP, new games.
That's
like,
true.
They will really focus on like the franchises that they have coming, though.
Right. Right. Do you think we'll see any Uncharted 4?
I don't know. Like, they might. I mean, like, there's rumors, I guess. Like, people have, you know, said that it's up and running, but, you know, I don't know
how much of it would be up and running at this point.
And there's no release date. I don't know how much that would benefit them whenever they've had so much, like, I don't think we've covered it that much on this podcast.
Right.
But, like, they've had high-profile people leave. Amy Hennig.
Yeah.
They had a couple other, like...
Who's, like, the main writer and, like, creator of this big universe.
Right,
so.
They had a couple of the art directors. They had the actual director of the game leave.
Yeah.
And they had their main bad guy leave. They're recasting that role. And so it's like...
I honestly think they might have something, some sort of a segment there that introduces the new faces to that team, maybe.
Maybe. The only reason... This is my thing. The only reason that they would show any Uncharted 4...
Like actual footage.
Or anything. Mention it in any way at the press conference.
Yeah.
Would be to kind of turn this bad press that they've gotten for all these departures, turn that around and say, you know, like...
It might happen.
This is actually doing well. I don't know why they would. Like, that seems like a waste of time. But, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I mean, it could be. But then again, Sony is kind of that, like, hey, let's take something and turn it on its head. I mean, it just seems like they do that a decent amount. So I think they might try to mitigate a little bit of that pressure that they're getting from people and actually bring out, because it's the guys who did isn't it The Last of Us? Like, it's the two main, like, minds behind that. They're heading this game.
They did Last of Us. They also did Uncharted 2.
Which Last of Us is like, arguably one of the, like, most defining games of, like, last gen. And so, like,
it was definitely the biggest game of last year.
Right.
Like,
and so I think that they could bring them out and they may even say, you know, hey, you know, basically to say to fans, we're not abandoning you with just some guys who are just new, you know, or who are just staff guys at the, you know, this developer or whatever. We're giving you to someone who knows how to handle games, who knows how to handle a good story.
I think they've already done that, though. That's my thing. They've already done that by this press release. Yeah. And anybody who was paying attention to all
that's
these
true.
Departures already knows this.
Yeah, and anybody who, I guess you're right, because anybody who would care about Uncharted 4 already knows all of this. So.
Yeah, so, like, there's really no need. We've spent a lot of time on that, but I guess, you know, what to expect from Sony is expect a lot of talk about games as well. Like, they're going to anticipate and try to show up what Microsoft just did in their own press, like they did last year. Like, last year was a magical year for Sony because they could just 1-2 punch Microsoft.
Microsoft set themselves up so well for Sony just to take advantage, and I applaud Sony for taking advantage.
I mean, really, like, Microsoft had a great press conference. Like, I didn't in that press conference thinking it was a bad press conference.
No, I didn't either.
And then you watch Sony's and you're like, whoa, man, they just kind of like responded to, I mean, and I think afterwards, like, we talked about that, how Sony's press conference was a response to Microsoft's completely, all the way, you know, through and through. And I think they won't be able to do that to the same extent this year, but they will try to preempt it in their planning by putting as many games as they can into their press conference, and I think it will still focus on a lot of indie development. Indie games will still play a pretty prominent role.
That's true.
And we'll see a lot of game stuff.
Here's a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
In Sony's, do you think they'll talk about Vita at all?
Yeah, they have to. Like, it's still, like, they're still, like, pushing out system updates for it, added functionality with the PS4. Like,
yeah.
that's it's still a piece of hardware that they're pushing. They just released the Borderlands 2 bundle.
Right.
Like, they're still pushing this
hardware. Which is what people have been asking for a long time.
Yeah, like, and so, like, they're selling units, they're pushing this hardware, it's not dead, they're going to talk about it. Like, I don't know that they'll spend a ton of time on it, but, like, yeah, for sure, they'll talk about Vita.
Here's another question for you about both, I guess, Microsoft and Sony. Do you think, and I have an opinion as far as, like, whether Microsoft will or not, I guess, because price drops of the last gen consoles, like the PlayStation 3 or the 360, do you think we'll see either of those things? I honestly don't think we'll see it from Microsoft.
How much are they right now?
I don't even know.
I don't even know either. Like, and I don't know that it matters. Like, they're still selling a lot of units.
Yes.
You know, the only reason that Sony would is because, yes, the PlayStation 4 is outselling the Xbox One, but the Xbox 360 is still outselling the PS3.
That was, I guess, my thought was maybe they dropped the price on that in order to pull, like, a similar thing to that they did last year, where they're going to try to beat Microsoft maybe out of last gen, like, even, you know, just try to pull, like, the 11th hour, you know, we're going to try to pull ahead in last gen sales.
Neither company will do it if it will end up costing them money.
Yeah,
that's true. Only if they have, you know, gotten the components down to a reasonable price, will they make the price drop. Like, right, there's no need to otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, and you look at the amount of consoles that are sold. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, almost every household in America has a console,
right?
Of either just one or the other.
One or the other, yeah.
Like, that's almost complete market saturation.
That's true.
As far as home consoles go.
That's true, and I think that moving into, like, PlayStation 4, like, current gen stuff, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah,
we've moved into that, and I guess those companies have kind of moved on. You know?
I mean, you look at, you know, both companies, both of them are doing this now. The only thing support that the old consoles are actually getting still are the PlayStation Plus games, free games, and the Games for Gold games.
That's true. And any cross-gen, like, releases. Cross-gen, there's not really any old-gen, like, releases that we're getting anymore.
But I'm predicting, like, this is not an E3 prediction, but, like, that's going to end next year. Mm-hmm. You think about Arkham Knight, it's not coming to last-gen consoles.
Yeah.
Nothing that comes out after this year, I don't think is going to. Although Ubisoft has, I will take that back. Ubisoft has said they will support, I think, you know, somebody like Ubisoft, they'll support last gen as long as they can and make money at it. And I think Activision will too.
I was about to say that.
But it will be, you know, pared down versions of these games. Like, they're not going to let the feature set in the next gen versions, or I guess current gen now,
suffer.
Yeah, suffer.
So it's not going to be like, I guess what you're saying is it's not going to be like a last gen development game up-resed to the new consoles and like with some added features or whatever. It's going to be kind of a new, like, the development was for the new consoles, and if they want to expand their install base or their market just a little bit, they would shrink this game down into, say, hey, can we remove some stuff to fit it on the old ones?
You kind of, you know, like, you think about Call of Duty Ghosts, for example.
Okay.
And that was always, to me, it was a game that was developed with last gen hardware, last gen in mind.
Yeah.
And they made it fit onto, like, the next gen hardware.
Right.
The, you know, like, opposite side of this is Battlefield 4, which, you know, take what we said earlier and just kind of put that aside for a second. But that was more of a next gen game that was kind of like still lived on last gen.
Right.
And
well, you look at Titanfall 2, you know, you look at that, they released on 360, but it was very, like, there weren't textures, there weren't these, like, environmental things, some of them.
And that's,
know,
the problem is, like, moving forward, yes, developers and publishers want to reach the largest audience possible, and that means putting their games on last gen consoles, but that also means the game is not the same, and it's going to, it's hard.
Like, oh, yeah.
It took them an extra month to get Titanfall on the 360. And
it was delayed too, wasn't it? It wasn't, like, the release date was a few weeks after initially.
Yeah.
And then
they were like, we need more weeks.
Right. They added a couple of weeks to that. So,
yes. So, like, you know, it's not an easy thing putting it on last gen, and that will end pretty quickly. Like, it's going to end.
Yeah.
Like, next year, we'll stop seeing, like, probably 2015 will be the last year that we have, like, cross-gen games.
Boom. Tweet that. Chris said it. There it is. Chris lays down the law. You are right. A lot of times whenever you say things like just blanket statements like that, you're right more often than you're not. I will say that.
That's good.
Okay, so moving on from the two, like, Sony and Microsoft, let's talk about some of the, like, Ubisoft. Let's talk about them for a minute.
Oh, so, like, well, let's talk about Nintendo first.
Okay, okay, so Nintendo. I realize that they've put themselves in a corner here, and so, like, that's why I was trying to, like, I don't know. Okay, so Nintendo, they need some big things. Like, they are hurting. Their Wii U sales are you know, just done. You know, it's there's some big things that they need, but they have once again mitigated themselves to the sidelines by saying, we're not going to have a big press conference. Which, honestly, it's these Nintendo Directs, it's nice to have, like, more content over time and to not, like, hold everything back for big press conferences and things like this. But you also get to the point where it's very dry. You don't get the excitement involved. And if you kind of don't play on the same playing field as the rest of the industry, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the install base as the rest of the industry. And so, like, that's kind of how I view Nintendo. Nintendo needs big things out of this. And I think they've got some things kind of planned.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at last year and they didn't have really anything big to announce, so why spend the money on a big press conference?
Right.
You know, like,
but wasn't it the same amount of money? Don't they still rent out the same space that they would use for their I mean, this year they are with the Smash Brothers Invitational, like a tournament that they're doing.
But you think so let me talk through this for a second.
Okay, cool.
You know, last year, I mean, yes, they still have the same showroom floor. Like, on the showroom, they have the same space. That's good. They're showing off all their games. That's what everybody does. That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever you're going, like, so for instance, last year, you're going up against two competitors who are releasing new consoles, and you're going to try to have a press conference that competes in some way with that? No, you can't.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, what's the thing, the theme this year? Software. So if you have a press conference that is not chock full of new software, there's no point in having a press conference. You save the money that you would spend on, because these press conferences, they're not at E3 on the showroom floor. Right. They are separate conference rooms. Well, like, they're million-dollar events,
right,
that, you know, like, involve, you know, sound, lighting, all this production.
That's true.
They don't need to do.
Yeah, there probably is a little bit less cost in doing, because they've rented out the Nokia Theater for the Invitational Tournament.
But think about
the
that.
Less, like, there's no, like, you're right, there's no, like, big, like, graphics that you need to have people pull up. And there's not a lot of, like, expenses from that side of things, like the production standpoint. It's just you have to host a tournament.
But it doesn't matter, though. That's a better use of their money than a stupid press conference where they just get up there and talk for an hour. Like, that is promoting what they estimate is going to be their biggest game in the near future.
Yeah.
They are pushing that game hard, and that's what they need to do, because the thing that's going to sell Wii U's is software,
yeah,
and excellent software, software that people want to buy.
Right.
And it's not going to come from third parties. We know that. It's going to have to come from Nintendo. So, like, their biggest third-party game, they're going to push real hard and, like, okay, like, let's just... I mean, I think it's a smart move not having a press conference, honestly.
Right on. Right on.
Because of that.
I mean, that's you're probably right, just because they are focusing on the number one software, and the number one software not only for their company, but it's like that game, it lives in so many people's hearts and minds. Like, just from you, if you haven't played that game, Super Smash Brothers, on your own GameCube or on your own other console, it's you've played it at a friend's house and you've loved every minute of it.
If
there is one console seller, you're right, it is that game.
Yep, that's the game that, like, that's the make or break game, in my opinion, for the Wii U.
Yeah.
If that game does not sell consoles, Wii U's in the ground. And like the Nintendo has talked about that before. They've talked about how, like, they've already got plans for the next console hardware. People keep telling them to get out of the hardware business, and it's like, that's, you know, whatever.
They don't want to do that.
Like, their handheld's still wildly successful. They just have a console that, you know, they haven't figured out how to market. They haven't supported properly with software.
Right.
And,
made a lot of missteps there. And especially with it's not powerful enough or easy enough for third party developers to develop for it.
Yeah.
And so what's hard about that is you've got games like Watch Dogs, like, where it's, you know, it sells tons. And, but then you've also got games that Nintendo develops that are more popular, like, just in general, like Mario Kart, for example. Like, people, everybody, again, just like Smash Brothers, if there's a console seller, it's going to be a little, like, they're going to see a bump after Mario Kart, I would say. So many people love Mario Kart. More people loved Mario Kart at the beginning of the year than loved Watch Dogs. But Watch Dogs sold so much more because they have this cross-platform install base. So I guess my point is that basically they've kind of ruled themselves out of this third-party software. Like, they need more games, and they're the only people that are going to put it out. And I think that's what we'll see a little bit of. We might see, even if it's, like, barely in development, we will hear from them about, like, a Zelda game. We might see something from, like, Metroid, something like that. That would be another popular game that a lot of people would probably enjoy.
I'll tell you what they need to do, and, like... The thing is, I'm really positive about what Nintendo can bring to the table this year because they have their attitude has kind of changed from last year, and you know, like, they're not expecting the Wii U to just sell itself, and they know that they have to support it with software. So this is like what I think they'll do. You know, like, they're gonna have a big push for Smash Brothers, and they need to announce a new IP that will get people excited. Like Zelda, yeah, that's fine. That's not going to sell a ton of consoles.
It's true.
Metroid, it's fine. That plays on nostalgia, but that's not going to sell a bunch of consoles.
It's also, it's playing to your fans. Who doesn't own, like, if you love Metroid and you love Nintendo stuff, you're exactly right, that who doesn't already own a Wii U?
Well, the super hardcore Nintendo fans already own a Wii U.
Yeah.
And the idea is to capture the larger market, people who are going to, you know, buy it for their kids, buy it for their house, that kind of thing. And, you know, that's going to have to probably be a new IP. Like, you know, you think about Super Luigi Brothers hasn't done it. The other new Super Mario Brothers 2 or whatever it was called hasn't done it. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Galaxy or, you know, like, they've got something new. Like, they've got their big franchises, Mario Kart and Smash Brothers.
Yep.
Then something new. So I think we'll see a new IP that is brand new from Nintendo.
Interesting.
That's my prediction. Sorry, we're into predictions now.
But do you think that that'll be for Wii U, or do you think that that's the mystery 3DS developer conference, like whatever that is called? I mean, can't remember what it's called.
I think we'll see. But I think for the Wii U in their press conference, Nintendo Direct on Tuesday, we will see an announcement for a new IP on the Wii U.
I like it. Okay, so now that we are into predictions.
I think that will be focused all on the Wii U. That's why they've pushed these smaller announcements for the 3DS to later in the week.
Well, and it's also, you'll see a lot of Smash Brothers footage. Like, the Smash Brothers stuff, like, that's going to be awesome. The only question I have about Smash Brothers is it's supposed to come out, like, I think we'll see a release date from for the 3DS game, but that's supposed to come out this summer, whereas the game for Wii U is supposed to come out later this, like, in the winter, like, holiday. So, I mean, I'm interested, like, that seems like a weird, like, watering down, like, everybody, like, there's the install base on the 3DS is relatively large, but if you want to sell consoles, wouldn't you bring out the console version of that game first? Like, wouldn't you want that to be the strategy?
On Smash Brothers?
Yeah. Like, on Smash Brothers. I don't know. That always confused me.
So. No, because, like, I think, you know, what the market that they're trying to get right now are families.
Yeah.
When do they buy consoles? Christmas.
That makes sense.
And so there's a new Smash Brothers game. It's out at Christmas. Buy the console with the game.
Maybe a bundle.
Bundle.
I would hope.
Yeah, that's what they're pushing for.
I might do that, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's something that we didn't have. We talked about EA's yet?
No, we can talk about third party now. So, you know, EA and Ubisoft. You know, I think we'll still see. I mean, it'll all be about software. The big things from EA, we can kind of get into some predictions here.
Okay.
EA, my prediction is we'll see Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, dude, I was about to mention that.
I think we'll see actual footage, gameplay footage.
Yeah.
And maybe a developer, like, interview or commentary, somebody on stage from EA and DICE. Are they working on it? I can't remember. Yeah, DICE is working on it. No. I don't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway. Whoever's working on it. Yeah, it is.
It is anyway. DICE. I think it is DICE. You're right.
We'll see. They'll
it's like
be
a Star Wars Battlefield kind of a vibe.
I mean, basically, that's what they need to make. I mean, Battlefront was awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, what it doesn't need to be is just... No, it doesn't need to be that. So, like, what you just said, blasphemy.
I know, right?
I denounce that.
I know.
I rebuke what you just said.
I would be less excited about that.
And I think we'll see something on stage. I think, you know, like, we could spend a lot of time on that. We'll definitely be talking about Battlefield, and that's why the Battlefront has to be completely, like, it needs to be its own game.
Yeah.
And I think they'll still push things like The Crew. Oh, wait, that's Ubisoft, sorry. Ubisoft will push things like The Crew.
For sure.
Like, things that we'll see later next year. And we'll we'll definitely see some new IP. I hope that we get an update on Mirror's Edge 2 from EA. That might be thrown in somebody else's press conference. I think that was in Microsoft's last year.
Yeah, it was.
But what I hope from the first party is I hope that it's not filled with, you know, third-party games in the Sony and Microsoft.
Right. You want to see those guys doing their own thing, kind of. I mean, yeah. While you will have the inevitable Activision alongside Microsoft and that sort of thing. I mean, you will see that stuff, and that's exciting. But it's not as exciting as like new ideas and these new things that are going to come out for the specific consoles. Right. So, but yeah. Okay. So, any other predictions?
Well, let's just move into predictions.
Okay. So we're moving into these predictions now.
Yep. These are just blanket predictions.
Okay.
So stay tuned. So, like, for the conferences, we're going to watch them all.
Yep.
And release a podcast next
Monday.
We're going to record it Monday night. So
late.
It'll be there on Tuesday morning. So be ready for it. And
be ready. Prepare your iTunes feeds or whatever you listen to this on.
The only one, like, that we won't have any information for is Nintendo. And
we'll do a follow-up segment on the following podcast about that.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll tweet out some stuff. But, you know, like, because there will be some big announcements. Follow our Twitter at StayOnTargetPod, and we'll push all the news out that we can about E3 on the on our Twitter feed.
Yes, the Stay On Target Twitter feed there.
Yep. Okay, so predictions.
Okay,
let's just go back and forth.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you'll probably have a little bit more than I will.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Go for it.
My number one prediction.
Okay.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
I was hoping you would say that.
Announced.
Gosh. I mean, that would be amazing. If there's one game that would change my mentality towards, like, I don't even know. It's like, that game, the first one, Red Dead Redemption, was my favorite game of last gen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we may share that game as, like, the favorite game of last gen. Like,
for sure.
This is the most defining game, and I think I spent the most time on it.
It's probably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, it's... Anyway, a second one, a sequel to that. It's like recently we had the somebody mentioned that hey, we consider that a franchise, like an ongoing franchise.
Yes. So they've said that for years.
Yes, but it's, you know, it's time. I think it's time.
My second part of that prediction.
Okay.
It comes fourth quarter, early next spring.
Ooh. Wait, really?
Yep.
As in like January, February, March.
When does fourth quarter end?
March, right?
March, at the end of March?
I think it's like March.
We're getting in March.
Really?
Yep.
Dude, this is nuts. Like this is that right there, the deadline there. I mean, Rockstar's no, like they're amazing at keeping things in, and I think now if you looked at that kind of release schedule, this would be the time to announce it.
Do you want to know my logic?
Go for your logic.
All right. So, they have said it's going to be a franchise.
Yes.
It is high time that we have a Red Dead Redemption 2. The only other option, you know, for them to use another franchise would be another GTA or like a follow-up for like handhelds like they did with GTA Liberty Stories or whatever it was for GTA 4.
Yeah, so you think they might do something like that?
I don't know. Who knows? But I don't...
I think I would say that as maybe possibly, one of my predictions.
Oh, like, that's... Okay, well, hang on. I would say...
Okay, so, yes.
Oh, and then like the other part is... They've already said that there's going to be a major AAA release fourth quarter of like this calendar or this fiscal year. I hate the freaking fourth quarter ends in the following year.
Yeah, it ends like February or March. I don't even know. It's not even like, I don't think it's like at the end of the month. I think it's like halfway through a month or something. I don't know.
It's like, I guess it coincides with taxes. Is that why?
Yes, that's probably right. Because April 14th or 15th or I don't even know when taxes are due.
April 15th. Listen to me. That's weird. Anyway. So that's my prediction. Your prediction. Go.
I will say that I think that we will have a Grand Theft Auto handheld for sure. Like I think that's bound to happen again. And so I think for the Vita, this is the perfect time for the Vita to maybe even on the Sony, like on the stage there with Sony's press conference, whenever they talk about the Vita, I think the one announcement that could get everyone excited about a Vita would be a Grand Theft Auto handheld.
That'd be amazing.
I will go ahead and say that. That's my first prediction.
Ooh, I like it.
Boom.
Second prediction. Mm-hmm. They will announce Grand Theft Auto 5.
Okay.
Rockstar will for Grand Theft Auto 5, and it will be out late June.
So
for next gen consoles.
For next gen consoles. Yes. So late June, as in this June?
As in this June.
Okay. So that's just like basically the up-resed kind of like updated
along with a PC version.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I will lay down and say, I think the, this is going to be a little bit more vague because I don't know exactly what it would be, but the Nintendo, the 3DS announcement that everybody's kind of wondering about this, it's 90 minutes. This is a 90 minute discussion with the developer of a game that's unannounced for a 3DS. I will go ahead and say that you wouldn't dedicate that much time to a game that you already know what the gameplay is going to look like. Mm-hmm. You can already, I think this is going to be a game that it's going to need to be explained. So I think that it's going to use a lot of like the functions of the 3DS with the stylus and the pad there. So I will go ahead and say that's going to be a new game and they're going to have to explain it a lot. And so that's why it's 90 minutes.
Let me add on to that.
Okay.
Let me amend your, can I amend your prediction?
You can amend my prediction.
It won't be because they have to explain the stylus and things about the 3DS.
Mm.
It's because it will use the near-field communication figurines that they've already announced.
Ah, yes.
Cross-game. That's the part that has to, that has to be explained to people. Mm. The fact that you can take this figure and use it in this game and how it can be transferred to another game, the stats or whatever is going to live in these figures.
So can I amend your amendment?
Sure,
I also think we will see some of that in the developer commentary the previous day for the Smash Brothers, because they've already said that the little figures, the NFC figures, will be used on Smash Brothers.
Yes.
But we need to know how. And I think they're going to explain a little bit of that then, whether it's like custom move sets, that you, I'd be able to like customize my move sets and then bring them over to your house and then like play them there, whatever. Or whether it goes from DS all like over to like it unlocks the same things.
Yes.
It's like your save game file and it's cross against Wii U, whatever. But I think they'll do a little bit of explaining on the figurines then as well.
Yes.
So,
can I amend your amendment to my amendment?
Wow, this is getting
like a whole bill of rights now.
Oh my gosh.
Adding on to.
This is nuts.
I think that the figures will store stats.
Uh-huh.
You will level them up and you can use them like you have a level 5 character in Smash Brothers and he transfers over to this RPG and you are a level 5 over on this RPG.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Man, okay.
Along with potions and magic powers and
stuff. Dude, this sounds like these figures are awesome.
We're building this up to be crazy huge, and it's probably going to be...
What if they're like, these are paperweights? These are just paperweights. They're like USB flash drives.
Store songs. It's like those hit clips back in the day.
Oh, gosh.
They play terrible versions, 1 minute versions of your favorite pop song.
I hadn't even remembered that in so long. Goodness. Wow. Hit clips.
Yes. All right.
I think it's your turn for a prediction.
There's going to be an infamous Vita game.
An infamous Vita game, dude. Yep. This is something that like people have been wanting for a long time. Like, and it's the same thing, I guess, as like, hey, you know, Borderlands 2. We want Borderlands 2 for Vita.
Yeah.
And so like that was something that was going on for a long time. And I guess judging from that actually came out. So I think eventually we will definitely see an infamous. I just don't know if it'll be announced now.
I mean, the difference though is that there's a. The only people who want this is fans.
Right.
People who wanted, you know, or the reason we knew that there was probably going to be a Borderlands on Vita was the fact that 2K was saying, we want to put Borderlands on Vita.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, the reason that I think that we'll see an Infamous is because, like, I think still one of the best games on the handheld, as far as, like, getting close to a AAA title, is the Uncharted Vita game.
Okay.
And the... that was a launch game. They need to push something out to sell handhelds that is close to, because this is what they used to do. Like whenever it first came out, they marketed it as you can have console quality games in a handheld.
Okay.
And that's true. They look great. And you can play like really, really great games on there.
Yeah.
But they're not to the quality like PS4 or what we consider console quality games right now.
Right.
And so now like you look at a lot of Sony's marketing and they're saying this is your place, your home for indie games. And
right.
While that's true too, that I don't think that moves a lot of consoles. Mm-mm. And so you know, an infamous game that's a AAA title coming to Vita.
Cool.
You know, Borderlands 2 didn't review well, but if this was built for the ground up for Vita.
As opposed to just ported. Yeah.
Exactly. Could do wonders for the system.
Right on. Okay, here's another prediction of mine.
All right.
I will throw out there that a Metroid game is in the works for Nintendo. I think that it might even come to 3DS. I think that's a better call on their part to do a side-scrolling platformer, like go back old school with Metroid, not the first-person shooter stuff, and do something for the 3DS. So that I will throw that out there as my next prediction.
Nice.
It would just be fan service. Let's just be honest. Like, that's, you know, it won't sell handhelds. It'll just sell the game. But it's like, the, you know, they want to sell software as well. And I think that would kind of help them make some money. So I think that right now Nintendo is just kind of struggling to, or they will do some crazy things. And I think that's just crazy enough to make them some cash.
My next prediction, it won't come out till 2016, but we will see a trailer for Gears of War at Microsoft's press conference.
Man, I'd be excited about that.
Yep.
That'd be great. And, I mean, honestly, of the Microsoft games, that's one that I have loved from the beginning to end. And it's like, well, hey, who cares about, you know, story, what's, you know, who cares about like how deep the story is or whatever? The universe is cool, the action is awesome, and it's really fun to play with people.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
I will say that we will hear an update. And you may be able to tell me a little bit more, like, or like be able to expand on this a little bit. PlayStation Now. Mm. I think we'll hear an update on what time frame that might be coming out. Because aren't there people in like a beta of it now?
Yeah, there's people. There has been for the past 2 months a PlayStation 3 beta that's been ongoing. And there, as of 2 weeks ago, there's been a PlayStation 4 beta.
So there's movement on that front.
Yeah.
And so I think that it might be time to at least give people a window in which they might be able to experience this.
Yeah. I could see them announcing that, detailing like how much it's going to cost, what you actually get for, you know, like if it, whether it's going to be rental prices or if it's another subscription tacked on to your existing PlayStation Plus subscription,
right,
or if it's built into PlayStation, whatever it is.
Whatever it
would be. I could see them...
You kind of think that there's going to be like, you know how much money is going to be on the table whenever this goes live.
Yeah, and so I think that we'll have it detailed. I think it will probably go live around Christmas time later this year.
I think that would be a good prediction. I think you're right around that. Do you think it'll have another stage to the beta at all? Like where it kind of goes a little bit more open to tease people with it? And then, I mean, any thoughts on that?
Perhaps, maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know what, I think they're just, they're testing to see, like, make sure that these games, actually run smoothly without latency. I think that's what they're testing.
Right on.
And, I don't know that they're actually like stress testing their servers, although they could be. Who knows?
I don't know. It might not be that big yet, so
right.
I don't know. Something I wanted to ask you about was your Vita. Like, whenever you can control your PlayStation 4, you can play it through your Vita. How does the latency on that work? Is it extreme?
I mean,
this is literally just a side note. This is just me being curious. I probably should have waited until after the show, but how does it work?
I wouldn't play a first-person shooter like that. Like, okay. Killzone is tough.
Okay.
And I will say, like, this is almost a separate issue, but,
right,
you know, like, with my Vita, the most frustrating thing is remapping the triggers, or actually, it's basically the bumpers to the back touchpad.
So what is it, L1, 2, and, like, L1 up there? Like, the top one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's the most frustrating thing. That's entirely different from the latency. The latency is not that bad unless your network is going crazy.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So, I just totally lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. That was all my bad.
That's fine.
We are on your prediction.
Yes.
Do you have one? I am out. I will say this. That was my last prediction, unless I come up with one out of the blue.
So, I know we've been talking about PlayStation. I guess I just don't have any, like, much to say about Microsoft.
I think you're right. Okay, so let's just, this is our prediction.
Yes.
Because I think we agreed earlier. Microsoft is going to have super exciting games that we know nothing about.
Yep.
And that's the only prediction that I can have from Microsoft, because I think there's going to be things like last year whenever we saw, what's it called? Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Whenever we saw that, it's like that was a completely unexpected thing. I was so excited about that particular announcement just because we'd never seen anything like that from Microsoft. I think we're going to see a lot more like that.
My one prediction.
Yes.
I think we'll see the Ridley Scott web series, like, first part teased for Xbox One.
So you think just like a highlight reel?
They're shooting right now, apparently.
Whatever, you know?
In England somewhere.
Just so somebody cuts together a few punches.
I think it will, like, maybe the first episode will go up.
That'll be cool.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Can I do one more prediction?
Yes, one more prediction.
One more prediction. Sony will announce In the place of the Order 1886 not coming out this fall, they will announce another first-party exclusive that will come out.
That's crazy.
Although they do have Drive Club coming out, so that's
they do have Drive exclusive. Club, but that's basically the only one right now for them that's an exclusive.
And it's going to be competing against the crew.
They're doing like all of the indie stuff. I think they're really going to, especially you made the call that like during their press conference, they're going to push the indie stuff. I think that's 100% right. But you might be right. They may have something else just held back, you know? But again, I think Microsoft has something held back too, like that's going to come out this calendar year.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting thing about E3. That's the part that I really enjoy is this is something that we haven't heard rumors of. This is something that we have nothing, you know, nothing newsworthy, like just rumors of something.
Do you think that we will see the Master Chief Collection that's been rumored?
Yes.
From Microsoft. All of them. Every Halo.
I don't know if it's every Halo, but I definitely think we will see a next-gen re-release of all of the Halos. Whether it's like this disc includes Halo 1 and 2, and then this one is, you know, 3 and like whatever.
I think we'll all be together. I think we will see it. I think we'll all be together. I think that's completely true.
Yeah. I mean, when do you think the release window? Do you think that's Christmas again? That just piles so many games around Christmas.
It's okay. These consoles need games.
That's true.
There's kind of been a drought lately.
Yeah, there really has, for sure. And there's been a drought for Nintendo for like 2 years, so. Yeah.
So that's it for this. Like, you know, this is it. Until E3, a few days from now, this is all the news you're going to get.
All shall be revealed.
Yes.
All shall be revealed on Monday, whenever everything drops, and then there's more throughout the week there, Nintendo and stuff like that.
So stay tuned to stayontargetpodcast.com. We're going to post our podcast there. Also, it goes up on iTunes. You can find it there. We'll have news throughout the week via Twitter at stayontargetpod.
Yep.
And you can find us both online at
JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250. And we'll have that then. Again, our next episode goes up on Tuesday morning, so check for that after the press conferences. And we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.